My guest at this time is Mike Hammond. He's the chief counsel at Gun Owners of America. You can find them at gunowners.org. We've talked to him a number of times throughout the gun control debate, which hit a major point this week in the U.S. Senate when the Manchin-Toomey background check bill, which did clear the hurdle for starting debate, failed to find the 60 votes necessary to actually pass. 54-46 was the final vote, although Majority Leader Harry Reid switched his vote at the end so he could bring it back if he feels like the votes are there at some later point. And Mike, thanks very much for being with us.
Thank you for having me.
Well, the vote to proceed on the Manchin-Toomey background check expansion bill was 68-31. So at that point, a lot of people thought, well, at least that provision will probably get through. It still needed that 60-vote threshold, which obviously proved to be the difference. What do you think was the difference in the minds of those 14 or 15 folks who did not vote for the bill that they allowed to go forward?
There was an eruption in the senator's luncheon, which was precipitated by Senator Sue Collins, who was whining because gun groups were running commercials against her in Maine. And as a result, there's just an imbroglio, and a lot of senators decided that they were going to show the gun lobby and vote to go on to the bill. The net result is that we will never be able to relax until they bang the gavel at the end of the 113th Congress in December 2014. The bill's now temporarily back on the calendar, and that's certainly a victory. I mean, our members and your listeners should give themselves a pat on the back and take out the champagne or the Miller or whatever they celebrate with and understand that they are now feared by the nut left in this town. However, the bill could come up at any time again, and like a rabid dog, Harry Reid continues to lunge at us and continues to threaten to bring the bill up again and again and again until he finds the right number of sellout senators in order to destroy the Second Amendment and break our backs.
In his comments following the vote, President Obama obviously very agitated in his statement in the Rose Garden, and he basically accused the gun lobby, which obviously includes your organization.
Yeah, that would be us.
Of flat-out lying to lawmakers and the American people. He says it was explicitly written in the bill that this would not lead to a national gun registry. So how do you respond to that?
That's called projection in psychological terms. That means he accuses other people of being guilty of what is, in fact, his own moral deficiencies. Several things. Thing one is that this group of people who was traveling with Barack Obama were up in Hartford, Connecticut the day before, smiling and waving as Governor Malloy signed into law a statewide gun registry and a statewide gun ban, which came only precipitously short of confiscation. And so having endorsed and loved and claimed victory over gun registration and gun confiscation, they then fly down to Washington, D.C., and the next day they say, oh, no one's talking about confiscation and registration. I mean, do you think we're stupid?
Was that actually in the text of the bill, though?
Registration in the text? Well, the thing is this. The bill would require a very large number of people, anyone who published an intent to sell a gun. And we don't know what published means. In libel slander terms, it means communicated to a single other person. Does it mean published in a newspaper, church newsletter, put up a sign? No one knows, and you can bet it'll be interpreted as broadly as it can conceivably be interpreted. So anyone who now comes under the rubric of this has to have a 4473. That's a little file card that the gun dealer is going to keep on you when you buy that gun. What the government is doing, what the Obama administration is doing, is going around from dealer to dealer and copying the contents of those 4473s. So they have a list of all the gun owners who bought guns through that dealer, which now, from here on out, will be basically all gun owners. So if they have that list sitting in regional offices, guess what the slimy tomb gloomy mansion language says. You can't consolidate it. Well, that doesn't say anything. They don't know anything about computers. The way computers work is it doesn't matter whether the data is saying in Tucson or whether it's saying in Washington, D.C. If it's accessible by the push of a computer stroke, it's a national gun registry. So they don't call that a national gun registry. I think for the same reason Satan doesn't like the word sin, but it is.
Mike, is there a way to address the background checks apart from the risk of a national gun registry, and would you support that if there were?
No. I mean, at this point, the Obama administration has tried to beat our face in, has hit us over a club, has put a knife in our ribs, and we have succeeded so far in avoiding being defeated by him. So now he looks at us and smiles and says in a friendly manner, well, would you give me $5 voluntarily? No. You tried to destroy the Second Amendment. At this point, we're not going to allow Barack Obama to put points on the board by a voluntary defeat that he was not able to take from us by force.
Let's go back to where we started with the Senate luncheon, and you mentioned Senator Collins up in Maine was feeling pressured politically and got some help from other Republicans to help get the motion to proceed passed. What then happened with some of those same Republicans when the actual bill came up? Was it a matter of just that they were only going to go so far to help her out? What happened there?
Yeah, well, I think she was able to convince them to vote wrong on cloture on the motion to proceed, but not throughout the process. And I can tell you that as a result of what happened, as a result of moving to proceed to it, we had a week of nail-biting, of excruciating fear as we worked senator by senator to put together the votes necessary to win that. And let me tell you something else. We didn't win it by six votes. We won it by one vote. Had the Republicans not provided 41 votes in opposition to that, Heitkamp, North Dakota Democrat, Baucus, Montana Democrat, Begich, Alaska Democrat, and Pryor, an Arkansas Democrat, would have all provided the deciding vote to pass it.
Wow. So you needed every one of those 41 Republicans.
We needed every one of those 41 Republicans. Had we not gotten 41, we would have lost.
Now that it's not over, as you mentioned, this is still a possibility before the end of the year. What's your take on Senators Toomey and Manchin? You clearly disagreed with the legislation they put forward, but until they put forward that legislation, they were considered to be pretty strong on the Second Amendment. So overall, where do they stand now?
Well, we'll see. I think at this point, Toomey is a one-term senator. He's tried a political ploy in order to resurrect his political career and what he perceives is a dark blue Pennsylvania. Guess what? He's been taunted by former Governor Ed Rendell, who says he'll run against him on guns. But a couple things. By and large, politicians who run against guns in Pennsylvania certainly don't always win, and particularly if you're a Republican, you're not going to win because you're going to lose your base, and Ed Rendell is not going to provide the votes you need in order to win your Senate seat. So I think Toomey's a one-term senator. The effort at this point is to keep the bill from coming back to the floor, and let me tell you, I think we have senators prepared to say, if it comes back to the floor, this national reciprocity language, which is offered by Corner and Vitter, it's going to be offered again in only a very slightly altered version. And if the bill comes back, it will be under a 51-vote requirement, not a 60-vote requirement. So if they try to shove gun control down our throats, we are, first of all, going to pass language which will allow anyone with a concealed carry permit in this country to be granted reciprocity by places like New York. And secondly, we are going to pass language by Senator Burr of North Carolina, which would provide that veterans who have served their country honorably will not lose their gun rights without due process of law.
Well, sounds like plenty more still to come on this fight, to say the least.
Yes.
Mike, it's always good to have you with us. We look forward to the next time. Thank you.
Thank you so much.
Mike Hammond is the chief counsel at Gun Owners of America. Find them at gunowners.org. I'm Greg Corumbus reporting for Radio America.